Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. Really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Now, those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. Thank you so much for tuning in at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia, rate, review, subscribe. All of you, especially who listen on Apple iTunes, we appreciate that. Oh, man. The Orange lose in classic frustrating fashion, getting blanked 30-0 by the Cardinals. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in fan feedback. And we'll go over all of that fun stuff. But first, some bad news. Syracuse legend Floyd Little has entered hospice care, according to his friend and former teammate, Patrick Killoran. And, you know, obviously, you know, things started to look up momentarily for Floyd Little, but... entering hospice is obviously never a good thing. So, Little ranks 6th all-time in career rushing yards at Syracuse with 2,704 yards, 3,341 all-purpose yards from scrimmage, 49 touchdowns between 1964 and 1966. Obviously, Floyd Little was integral in making the 44 legendary. And it goes without saying that our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family as they enter hospice, a member of both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you, when you hear things about Floyd Little, and we'll get all the stories and things coming up, but total class act, a true legend, and someone who was around the program a lot too, you know, recently before he was sick and things like that. So obviously...
I'm not good with stuff like this.
I know, neither am I as well.
So, yeah, it's definitely, he was a big part of the program. He's been around the program. And, you know, I'm always going to say it's unfortunate when it comes to stuff like this. So,
well, obviously hospices, that's the last stages. That's, you know, my stepfather went through hospice a couple years ago. And, you know, that's when you know that's it. My sister is a hospice nurse.
So my stepmom's a hospice nurse.
Yeah.
Or was a hospice nurse, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, one of those things. And, you know, I hate bringing bad news, obviously. So, a little bit of good news, though. Coach said in a phone interview, he said they're going to be ready to play next Friday, meaning this Friday. He said our players are fine. They're in great shape. Coach was released from his 10-day isolation this past Friday. As he said, he's 100%. And so we will look forward to, you know, as of now, coach says the game's going to go. We'll see what happens. Obviously, there's some more testing to go through. Don't know if they're going to be able to get any practice in this week before the game on Friday. But, you know, if they do, you'll know about it. And you know then that we are good. Just because they don't practice, though, that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means maybe they're taking some extra cautionary, you know, precautions or whatever heading into the game. So. Yeah. Anyways,
well, I'm glad that coach was pretty much asymptomatic for the most part. You know, he says that every year he gets, you know, what, little stuffy,
allergies,
changes, you know, that allergies, and he get a little fatigued. But I'm beginning to worry. Obviously, when you look at the amount of postponed games and everything like that, I'm beginning to worry that these things are going to come up, and I just feel like it's going to be very hard not to have a situation where, you know, the team, if somebody tests positive, I feel like within 2 to 3 days of the game, I feel like there's just not going to be a game. So, I'm hoping that the NCAA and the schools and everything will be a little bit lenient in being able to reschedule or push back games and stuff. But if basketball happens the way that football has happened, then I don't know. I want to be able to look forward to Syracuse basketball, especially with the way the football season's going. But with, you know, the flu season and then this time of year, that kind of stuff always happens.
Yeah, it's just getting into that time of year and things are going to be – things are going to be a little bit more touch and go with this, I think, obviously. And we're just going to have to see what happens. I just really hope that, you know, our school and other schools can be as isolated from – outside of their programs as possible, right?
As long
as you kind of do kind of somewhat of a bubble format and you keep your guys close to you and you're not going out and able to, you know, if your contract case, if the contact tracing is done, hopefully it's everybody in your group, you know. Which is good and bad, right? So if something does happen within a group, that could be bad. But as long as everybody's not going way out outside their group, then, you know, you remain hopeful. So
yeah,
that is going to be tough. And it is not obviously something that can be monitored all the time. So obviously with the kids. So anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll start with Bryant on Friday. We'll see if that game plays and we'll go from there. But as far as the Louisville game, let's take a look and take a listen, rather, to see what Coach Babers had to say after the loss.
Well, you know, obviously you got to take your hat off to Coach Satterfield. Those guys, anytime you shut out a college football team, that's a heck of a deal. And, you know, it was a very convincing win, and they have a good football team, and my hat's off to them. They did an excellent job. Obviously, I understand how young the team is. I understand the parts that are missing. You know, obviously I'm extremely disappointed, but I'm also encouraged about what can happen down the road. And I have to keep that positive attitude going because I really do believe that's the key. If you're going to go through this much pain on the negative, then there better be an upside of the teeter-totter where you're going to be able to have a lot of positive. There's no doubt that Sean is really showing off and he's doing a nice job in a very difficult situation. And I'd imagine as we become better and better on that offensive front that he'll even get, you know, more explosive plays with his development based off of how he's running the football. I think he's running the ball extremely well. Again, I thought that he was steady. I mean, there was one time where he got hit and he didn't turn the ball over, which is a big thing. And then all of a sudden he gets hit again. I mean, those shots are tough, especially when you think about the freshmen really haven't had an opportunity to develop their body the way they want to with the COVID-19 and the weight rooms and all that stuff being shut down from March until they were able to get back here in June. And then small groups, and they really weren't in their active lifting parties until around August. So he's going to get bigger and stronger and all that kind of stuff and be able to take a lot more shots and stuff like that with his body. But I think that he's been hanging in there tough, and he's a tough kid. I think the defense played extremely well. I really did. You can't realize how difficult it is to go out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
There and to play twice as many plays as the other defense does and twice as many plays than the offense does and still be able to give that effort, eventually you're going to break down. And I thought the way they played, the way they handled this offense, based off of what we gave up last year to this offense. Now, they did have two more of their explosive players in the game, the tailback that opted out, and I don't believe that Tutu played as much. I think I saw him in there for one or two plays, unless I'm wrong, but he didn't play that much. But I thought the defense, even though they gave up points, I thought they played well.
All right, the coach montage is brought to us by our title sponsor here at the Cuse Militia and Armchair Media, and that is Bet Online. Look, you know it's not going to be easy to get to a game this year, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online, they're going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And remember, obviously, I don't need to tell you to remember this. You know that the basketball season is about to start. Obviously, they're going to have all the props and things for that. It's game spreads and all of that good stuff. You can get in on all of that action at BetOnline today. Head over there and use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. Okay, so quickly here, and I will do my best with this. We'll tell you a little bit about what we think, and then we'll get into fan feedback, the good. Now, I know it's very Homer-ish to come here and tell you, well, we have to look at the positives, like Coach just said, and I know it's boring, and I know it's tough to do. I know many of you don't want to hear it, but even with a game like we saw on Friday, there are positives. Sean Tucker, he continues to be a bright spot in the offense with 16 carries for 93 yards, 5.8 yards a carry. Garrett Williams, one-handed interception. It was a highlight reel play, and I think the best is yet to come with this defense. The like Joe likes to say, the bend but don't break defense. Canton R2 with two sacks. Very good. By the way, Sean Tucker stats for this year on 98 attempts, 507 yards, and three touchdowns, averaging 5.2 yards a carry. The defense did all they could do through much of this game, despite being on the field for 41 minutes and 27 seconds out of 60 minutes, guys. That is insane. That is an insane amount of time to be on the field. A lopsided time of possession due to a flaccid offense. Jacobian Morgan, he never looked comfortable. He looked like a deer in the headlights much through much of the game. And, obviously we all saw him get that blindside hit and left with an injury. Syracuse never really presented themselves with an opportunity to score. They never even got close. Coming into the game, Syracuse ranked 128th in total offense, and they only managed 137 yards of total offense to Louisville's 413. As I mentioned, 93 of those yards, or 92 of them, was it 92 or 93? 93, I think, were Sean Tucker's. So, the ugly. Yeah. Veteran guys making freshman mistakes. And Nykeem Johnson fumbled the kickoff return. Aaron Hackett fumbled the kickoff return. Taj Harris, he let a pass go right through his hands on third down that ended up getting intercepted. Syracuse didn't convert a third down until garbage time. They were 1-for-10 on the day. Joe, a frustrating game to watch indeed. We'll put this game in the mirror as soon as we're done with this show, but it is bleak to say the least when you look ahead at the next two games to try to get a win, as we go to our NC State comes to us, and then we go to Notre Dame to close out this miserable season that was the 2020 Syracuse Orange football.
Yeah. I think we've gotten to the point again. There's a lot of fans that have asked, can it get worse? How much worse can it get? Right. They asked it when DeVito was in there.
Yeah.
And Rex Culpepper got in there and they asked it. And now Jacobian Morgan's in there. And again, like we said, It's a situation where we're not going to a bowl game. It's a situation where we have so many things going on that, you know, the smartest thing to do is just try to get younger players experience. I mean, already we're kind of doing it because we have to anyway in certain positions. So that's kind of why I'm cool with Jacoby and Morgan starting that game, even though Rex Culpepper was good. You know, we talked about in the preview that Babers was still talking about how there's limitations. And I can only imagine the last 2 weeks just sitting there trying to figure some things out. And just, I mean, I have to imagine that he wasn't even really being able to do certain things in practice against a, you know, a scout defense. So it looked very vanilla. It looked
Yeah, when you had 2 weeks to prepare, it's just disappointing.
Right. And again, when someone's not ready, you know, 2 weeks isn't going to really do too much all the time. So definitely hurts, definitely hurts. And I know that the Syracuse fans don't want to hear it, but I mean, I've been really at the point where I'm watching to see improvement, to see what these younger guys have.
Right, yeah.
To see who might step up, to see who's really messing up. And like you said, to just see some of these older guys make some of those mistakes, like we're not going to have any chance to win. You know, we talked about in the preview how we had to turn them over. Well, we turned them over three times, but then we turned the ball over three times ourselves.
In those turnovers, there was nothing done with them. We just never even had an opportunity. Like I said, Syracuse never gave themselves a chance to score. If they were going to score, it was going to be the defense, or it was going to be Sean Tucker breaking something loose. And that was clear. And this is not a knock on Jacoby and Morgan. I'm not a Jacoby and Morgan apologist, and I'm not trying to defend my position that I feel like he deserves a shot either. But dude, you know, guys like Service and, you know, the other pieces that were moved around this week on the offensive line, it was really bad. It was bad. I mean, and I'm not some guy who watches film. I'm your average fan. Even I could see, like, this is terrible. Aaron Service is getting beat constantly. It's been duly noted, actually. I mean, this isn't the first game. And I don't know. And here's the thing. You don't want to bang on a player either because they're so thin there. What if he's got some kind of injury that he's trying to battle through? That's just, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you don't want to bag on the dude. But that's where we're getting beat. I thought Dakota Davis coming in was going to help a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, I know it's so frustrating.
And the one thing about the offensive line that's frustrating is the fact that, I mean, we kind of knew early last year that Sam Heckel wasn't going to be able to play. And that was one that definitely hurt.
Yes.
But realistically, I mean, you look at Dakota Davis is supposed to be the left guard and not Elmore, right? But even when you look at it, I mean, coming into this year, even if we had, you know, our running backs that opted out and there wasn't any injuries and things like that that could hurt us, I don't know if how much better this offensive line would have been.
I know.
Dakota Davis back. No, we're not going to. But Dakota Davis is back, and he's still trying to get in shape. We've had Chris Elmore moving around. Darius Tisdale, this was his first year starting, seeing what was going on. And it's just obvious. Again, I don't know if it's just – because I mean, the quarterback and the running back in the past have been kind of the main guys that communicate the line to the line, what the blocking schemes are, who's blitzing, who he's going to take, you know, everything like that, who to let go. And there's just too many times where we see two guys break through, go pretty much right past a blocker. A blocker doesn't know which one to block, and not knowing, he doesn't block either one of them, and the guys just go straight in and just, you know, clobber the quarterback. It's just happened too many times, and I would have just really, really liked to see them try to force the running issue a little bit better. I mean, I know that it was a little bit later in the game, but, I mean, Tucker still had a pretty good average, and even if we get down fast, I mean, we can't just go three and out like this. And we've had this issue all year, but 41 minutes to 18 minutes?
18? That is just unacceptable, man. I mean,
you're not winning any game.
No, hell no, hell no. I mean, I didn't take note, but if I remember right, two out of three of those turnovers that Syracuse gained, those ensuing possessions on offense were three and outs. almost positive. If it wasn't 3 for 3, it was at least 2 of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the number of plays, and not just the time, but double the amount of plays, this defense actually did really good. I mean, look, they gave up 17 points in the second half, or second quarter, and that was, like, just deflating. But those were, you know, how much of those points were off of turnovers? Do you remember, Joe, in the second quarter?
No, normally,
I write this stuff down as it goes, but it was Friday night, and I didn't. So, but, you know, when we look, and we, and like we were talking, Joe, earlier, you know, we look back at the game, and, you know, you're just thinking, like, it's honestly, I didn't want anything to do with the game after it was over. It was just such a, it was so deflating, and, you know, I watch every second of every game, and it's just hard to muscle through and get over it. But we're not making excuses. I mean, like we talked about earlier, Joe, there's a difference between excuses and reasons. And the reason we are in the position we're in is, let's, you know, the 2020 COVID stuff is one reason. And the other reason is this offensive line has just never gotten off the ground. It's just never been good. We don't even really know. Let's be honest. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, or you can feel free to disagree. We don't even really know what Tommy DeVito's potential is.
No.
Totally.
No. Because the offensive line that we had when we had Dungy here in the 10-win season, it was good. And we saw evidence of that when Tommy DeVito came in and beat North Carolina that year. And he looked like he was the next quarterback in line, right? He was playing against, obviously, teams that weren't game planning for him, but also with a better offensive line and a better, more senior-laden running back, you know, with Dante Strickland and the O'Neals of the world that knew what they were doing out there. I'm not saying Sean Tucker doesn't, but again, I'm sure that the freshmen are making certain mistakes and calls. I mean, that's got to be part of it. I mean, there's got to be, oh, I mean, a lot of it is not just one reason, you know, a lot of it is just a perfect storm.
It's a multitude of things. Yeah,
right. And
obviously,
I think, again, it goes back to, you know, changing your offense coordinators and your schemes and trying to figure that stuff out. You know, this guy, Sterling Gilbert, yeah, he played or he coached with Coach Babers as a coordinator, and he went and he got a head coaching job at McNeese State. So this guy's been used to, for the past six, seven, eight years, whatever, being a head coach, being kind of the guy, right? So, you know, him and Babers really didn't get a lot of time with this roster on the field, physically and coming up to the season to really kind of help. And again, the defense has helped, the defense has done good, but I think what's doing us in with the defense is just obviously the experience depth. We made a lot of changes. We went ahead and we got a lot of freshmen and stuff like that, and we're going to need a little bit of time for him to maybe recruit some of his guys, but we can see that there's some young guys that have some promise. And I think, again, no games this year, I don't think we can blame on our defense.
I agree. I think, obviously, we don't know how good this defense could be if they don't get wore out in halfway through the third quarter.
Right.
you know what I'm saying? If we could sustain some drives. Now, you know, you look at the offense and you got the vanilla playbook right now. I feel like the playbook, honestly, though, throughout the year really was never really, like, extravagant. And I'm not, like, some kind of offensive-minded person who can analyze all that stuff. I just was never blown away by anything that they were doing.
No, and you can't pull off the basics.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're pigeonholed, man. You just paint yourself in a corner with this stuff if you can't get off the ground. And we know about all the opt-outs and the things like that. Some of that's excuses, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's a multitude of things. And, you know, we got 2 more games to talk about. 2 more games.
I know the fans don't want to hear it. Right?
And that's the hard part about coming here. If you first of all, I've said this 100 times. If you're listening right now, you're hardcore. Because no one wants to. And I know people stopped listening. Obviously, I see the download numbers, and you know, I see them.
So people probably stopped watching. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure there's people who just have no interest in watching. And maybe you tune in on a Friday night, prime time against Louisville. Louisville, not some like freaking extravagant team, as Joe says, and they ain't world beaters in any category. Let's be honest. They're just not. You know, we found Tutu Atwell was going to play him. We're like, oh, I was like, man, damn, you know. But he didn't even do anything. Guys, he caught one touchdown. But I think what'd he catch?
Two? He didn't have the game he did last year. That's for damn sure. So
no, he didn't. He caught one catch for 19 yards for one touchdown.
It was a pretty touchdown.
It was a beautiful touchdown. Take his touchdown off the board. He didn't contribute at all. They still get smoked. 23-0.
Right.
So my point is that Louisville is not some kind of like Louisville looked like, you know, one of the best teams in the ACC last night. That was probably our worst game of the year, I think.
Offensively, yeah.
I
mean, dude, we threw 45 yards passing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously
And I hate to beat a dead horse, dude, but when you've got these guys, you know, Taj Harris, Nyheim Johnson, you know, Aaron Hackett. I mean, I just point them out because that's where the issues were. But when you got those guys, and these veteran guys can't do enough to hold up to kind of make the difference in the lopsided end of the experience on the field. When they can't do that, then you don't have a snowball's chance in hell if they can't step up and make up the difference for the inexperience on the field.
No,
and you expect and you expect them to, right, Joe? I mean, that's what they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's what you expect, but yeah, that's what you need. I mean, you need everything to kind of go your way at this point. And I think we talked about that. You know, I thought that there was going to be a couple things that go our way, and I thought we were going to at least be able to score two touchdowns and at least keep it in the realm of covering the spread like we talked about.
Oh my gosh, that's another thing. Who would have thought that we would have not covered that spread? It was 17 and a half points when we talked about it, right?
Yeah.
That's a ton of points. I thought for sure we'd cover. By the way, hold on, Joe. I'm sorry. Real quick. This is why I don't, because I very rarely do I get this positive like I did before this game on our preview. I was very, very sure Syracuse was going to be able to not only cover the spread, but make a run for this win against Louisville at home in Louisville. I thought that I really felt good about it. And that's why I don't get too high on any game coming up. And I'm what I say is what I really feel. And so if I'm not being, you know, if I'm a little negative, that's just because I feel like things are going to be bad. But when I'm really positive, you know, I was crushed. I thought that they actually really did have a good chance to go in that game and give Louisville a run for the money.
Well, yeah, let alone, throw up a goose egg.
Oh, yeah, I did not expect that either, of course.
Right, and to be perfectly honest, it was literally Louisville had a week to look at one game film of Jacoby and Morgan and figure him out, our kind of vanilla playbook, and it was obviously up to us to be able to, in 2 weeks, install some things that Louisville wasn't going to be ready for that we'd be able to do, and it did not look successful. So
just a lot
obviously, that's pretty much what happened right there.
Just a lot of confusion, a lot of, you know, the penalties. I think it was 8 penalties for almost 70 yards or something like that. So anyways, you know, unfortunately, to be realistic here, it's not going to get any easier. NC State just pulled out a grudge match. They're not. You know, they're a team I was kind of high on in the beginning of the year, but they just pulled out a grudge match against Liberty. You know, they're going to be coming into the Dome, and they're going to be high off of that win still, I'm sure. And I don't know how much that means, if anything, but I just feel like, what's the switch for Syracuse? I don't see it. I just want, like, I had a buddy of mine text me the night of the game. He had asked me before the game what I thought, and I told him, and obviously I was totally and completely wrong, you know, he texted me like when the third quarter was ending, and he's like, dude, you got a whole nother quarter of this. And he's not a guy that's going to call me and bust my traps or anything. That's not what he's doing, but he like felt terrible.
Yeah,
he felt bad. He felt bad for the quarterback. He's like, dude, you they got another quarter of this. This is not good. And I'll tell you what, when the third quarter ended, I was like, and my wife said it too. She's like, this game is still going on? I'm like, yeah, 15 more minutes left of this. 15 more minutes left. So anyway,
yeah, it was tough. Yeah, we didn't have a drive over 7 plays. So I mean, it's
yeah. So I mean, 1 for 10 on third downs, and the one you get is, I mean, I think was it Dylan Markowitz
right at the end
or
of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was like. Was it Dylan Markowitz or Rex Culpepper? I can't remember, but it was right at the end of the game. I think it was a Sean Tucker run, and you convert 1 for 10 on third down.
Cooper Lutz.
Was it Cooper Lutz? Okay, all right.
Three plays punt, 4 plays punt, 4 plays punt, interception, 6 plays, loss of downs, end of half. Fumble, punt, punt, loss of downs, end of game. I mean, that's just...
Well, there it is.
The seven play drive was when we were already losing, you know, by 30. So
what were you thinking, Joe? Because you were behind, so I didn't get to talk to you during the game because I didn't want to bug you because you were way behind.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, I was way behind, and you hit me up with that, you know, early. So I just thought that it was kind of early, and then you didn't hit me back up. So I was thinking, huh. You know, maybe we're coming back. Maybe it's not as bad because I usually, you know, assume that people are going to hit me up, not just you, Joe Pasek. Some other people hit me up during the game, but it was early, and then it kind of went quiet. So I was thinking, oh, maybe we do something here. And
well, I just left you alone because I knew you were behind. By the way, my text was, this game is my balls in a blender.
Yeah.
So you know. Not good, but
no. I mean, again, there was a bright light to me was the defense being able to watch those young guys. The Garrett Williams interception. I mean, we had
talented
12,
kid, man. Talented.
We had 12
kid.
Tackles for loss, 4 sacks,
yeah.
2 picks,
yeah.
You know, and fumble
recovery.
So again, I like the youth, and I like the fact that they can still make plays and do what they need to do. They hold their own to win games, but obviously
they've got to figure this offense out. They've got to figure the offense out. They got 2 games in an offseason to do it, and it's got to get done. It's got to get done by next year. If this goes this way next year, last year there was no COVID-19 last year, if I remember correctly, right? I'm old enough to remember there was no COVID-19 last year. Okay? We still had major troubles on offense. Tommy DeVito, if I'm not mistaken, started every game, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
there's that, but there's also the fact that we have to look at.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Playing a 10 game?
Yeah, well, we're playing 10 game conference schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a situation where we normally play an 8 game and we normally have our side that we play.
Right.
So, you know, they add some games that we weren't going to play to begin with, and takes away three non-conference games that are winnable. Well, at least, we thought they were winnable.
That, like, difference between reasons and excuses, that's an excuse. I mean, you're going to play in the ACC, you're going to play with the big dogs, you can play with the big dogs.
Oh, yeah, no, I get it. I get it, but I'm saying that's the difference between having a 1-7 versus having a 4-8.
Sure, we could have a 4-8, absolutely. Right, or 4-7 this year, right? There's 11 games this year, or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it would have been a little bit differently. So again, I mean, I'm like, that's like, this year is just that, and I guess what I mean by that is that this is just, another example of how this year is just an unprecedented year, and it's very hard to kind of look at the expectations this year and what's going on this year and compare it to any other normal year.
I agree, which is why I brought up last year. So we will see. We will see. We got 2 games left. We're going to head into those games with
completely understand if you don't listen or watch.
Completely understand. And trust me when I tell you that this is no fun coming here. I have had my buddy last night. He's like, you going to do a show on this? And I said, yeah. We are. We don't miss a show.
You can't forget about the fans, right?
Yeah. Well, look. I mean, look. It is what it is. You know, we are not. You know, we are not exceeding expectations, and we're not. We're probably right about on par for how this thing started. You know, the trajectory you saw it on is what it is. This was the last winnable game, in my opinion. We will see. It's time to hear from you. But first, we are going to hear from the good folks over at Bet Online. As I mentioned, you might not be able to get to a game this year. In fact, you know, hold your breath and just be lucky if we can watch games on TV. But you can still get in on all the action over at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use the promo code Armchair. Take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Now, look, it's the holiday season, okay? Do your boyfriend or your husband a favor, okay? You know, maybe you've been beaten around the bush. Yeah, you see what I did there? Maybe you've been beaten around the bush and not telling them, you need to, like, fix this, okay? Well, look, I've got it for you. It's time to gear up. Go over to manscaped.com, the perfect package 3.0. This is the revolutionary Lawnmower 3.0. It's proprietary advanced skin safe technology. So this trimmer cuts on your nuts.
Oh.
Is that a line I've not used before? Because
yeah,
I don't remember it.
Not used.
I definitely have not used that line, and that's my first time seeing it. But You know, it's also waterproof, so you can use this thing in the shower. And obviously, it's got the light. We all know about the light. The light in the shower, that's great. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for a perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice. Now listen, no one likes the snags. No one likes the snags. No one likes to stretch everything in certain ways so you don't get... so you don't have issues. The Perfect Package 3.0 is, it also includes the Crop Preserver. This is the anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. And also, the products got smell good. The cologne, I've mentioned it 100 times, manly scent, and is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The package, the Perfect Package, will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers to Manscaped boxers. High performance, anti-chafing. Tis the season to go get yourself Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com today. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. Clean yourself up. Make Santa proud this year. All right. Thank you, Manscaped. So, time for fan feedback. Brace yourselves.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, you guys know the deal. At the end of every game, I ask you for your thoughts. You go there, you look for that post, you give your thoughts at Cuse Militia on the socials. As you well know, I'm going to start with a little bit of Facebook. Greg, first game I've watched this season. Greg, what are you doing? Look, I get it, but come on, man. It's worse than hearing about it, how bad this team is. Well,
that
was not the best game to watch, that's for sure. So, our boy Tim, Dino's return trip ticket should be canceled. Excuses, blah, 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 opt-outs, parentheses, quitting. This S is just awful. Look, Tim not one to sugarcoat things, okay? And, you know, he's sick of the excuses. Yeah, absolutely. He's sick of the excuses, and I don't blame him. You know, this is kind of where, you know, this is, I knew these were going to, they get worse than that too, but I knew this was going to be a lot of the response. Look, I'm with you. I'm sick of the excuses too. I think Friday's performance on offense was completely unacceptable. Not only disappointing, but completely unacceptable. Like, you know, we're playing D1 football. Louisville, not exactly... you know, world beaters. I can't stop saying that because I don't know another word for it now, Joe. So.
Yeah, I know. realistically, as bad as it sounds, as bad as it is, I think our offensive line was worse last year. It makes it feel any better. But yeah, no, I get it. There's gonna be fans that just aren't cool with it. I don't know. When I look at expectations, that's kind of what I look at. You know, when you start the year off kind of behind the eight ball with some of the stuff, and then you lose some of these other guys, and the other guys get injured, and people keep going down. Like, I get it, but if you've noticed, like, people don't. But DeVito's not. Why do you think DeVito was in there? He is the best option, right? And then next best option, who knows the playbook? Rex Culpepper comes in there, and they. I don't understand what the fit. Like, an Eric Dungy ain't just gonna magically appear inside the locker room and walk out of the end of the field, like. There's a reason why these coaches are playing these guys, and whether or not you want to hear it or not, the guys who started the season and what they were doing, they were the best options and availability, you know, players that we had. And if that's not good enough for you, then that's something that you got to deal with yourself.
Do you think that it's worth looking in the transfer portal for maybe for a upcoming sophomore or excuse me, junior or something? Do you think it's worth the look? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you just think that they just go ahead and stick with what they've got and work on this offensive line and stick with Tommy DeVito in there next year? I mean, how do you see it? Because honestly, it's really kind of it's very convoluted. Cause you know what I'm saying? It's like, what do we got and what is the potential there?
Right.
It's just confusing, man. I don't know if we've seen the best of Tommy DeVito, like I said, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, we obviously need to worry about strength and conditioning and getting some of these younger guys up to speed because they're obviously getting experience and everything. But as far as Tommy DeVito goes, and you spoke about it earlier, if he's our quarterback, that's fine. But I think that there's no doubt in my mind that we need to try to hit up the transfer portal as far as defensive line and as far as anywhere on offense. Because, and even if that means at minimum bringing some guy in that can kind of give DeVito a run for his money or give somebody on the offensive line a run for the money. You never know if it's just a situation where we have such lack of depth and experience that these guys just know that they don't have to really – they don't got anybody chomping, you know, right at their heels, like just chasing them or trying to take their job. They just don't have that kind of depth. So, yeah, even if it's bringing in some transfers that are going to push these guys to be better and put some heat on them to have to perform or else they're going to get – because, I mean, as it is right now, DeVito wasn't getting – he wasn't getting subbed out unless he got injured, and you know that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for the reasons that we've said before and you just reiterated, he's the best option we had. I mean, I never thought that he wasn't. But, yeah, you know, but we see a lot of lackluster performances on offense, and people want to see a change. That's just human nature.
Yeah.
But just the guys
are so
young.
I just don't think that's the number one. I mean, at this point, we could have Eric Dungy or a borderline NFL quarterback on our team. And with these receivers and this play calling and this offensive line,
it ain't going nowhere. Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. At Debbie times three on Twitter, I'm very excited to have Garrett Williams next year. She don't know, man. She's just trying to be positive. I totally agree. The dude's a stud. He just come out of nowhere one game. I don't remember what game it was, but the dude's a stud. And he deserves all the credit for everything he's done this year. And you know, I mean, just can you imagine him in a couple more years? Like, that's something to look forward to.
Well, they had Trill Williams at cornerback, right? I think we all thought coming into this year that Trill Williams is going to be the, you know, by default new starting corner, replacing Christopher Frederick opposite Mel Fuanu. And obviously, when we saw Trill Williams move to a safety position, and we see Garrett Williams at corner, that told me enough that obviously this coaching staff has enough confidence in Garrett Williams to be able to start at corner and move Trill Williams into maybe a better, more playmaking position.
Yeah. At K Nabiwaniak, he says, I know they don't want both freshman QBs to get hurt, but I would have liked to see Markowitz play more instead of putting in Rex. Also, who's big old number 45 on our defensive line playing in the second half? Kid was all over the place. That is 5'11", 280-pound Kevin Darton, okay? Never heard the name. I got to be honest. I went and looked him up for you. Big kid, had two tackles, and, yeah, he was all over the place. So, good on him. Look,
playing against the backup. Offense. But.
Well, sure, but he was, you know, whatever. Of course, there he is, Joe. Just come pop everybody's balloon.
Perspective.
You know, the call for. I think Markowitz, you know, you knew when he came in, he was going to hand the ball off, and it was what it was. And you know, I don't know. You know, by the way, Jacobian got hurt on him, just completely missed block. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just bad offensive line play. He got freaking blown up.
It was Cervais, too.
Yeah, and it's on him. So, you know, that late in the game, getting blown out like that.
And that's like that one play is the epitome of our season, right?
Exactly.
You have that experienced captain, senior, mm-hmm. who's been there for the good times. Mm-hmm. He should be. Probably people were looking at him as possible borderline NFL mm-hmm. offensive lineman, somebody who's going to come in and be a leader on that offensive line. And you can't let that happen to a true freshman.
No, I mean, it is your number one all the time. But when you got a kid like that in there, man, you got to be extra, extra knowing what the hell's going on. And like I said, I don't want to bag on Service. I don't know if he's got something going on, if he's fighting through something. We don't know. At Drew Cuse, fire the entire offensive staff. And, you know, that's easy to say, but that puts us in the same place next year.
Seriously. What is with automatic, like, fire? Like, it doesn't go straight to firing. You got to get written up a couple times.
Look, I understand the Coach Babers is an offensive-minded coach, and we're not seeing a whole lot on offense. Look, the answer is not to start, wipe the slate clean and start over again. I'm so sick of wiping the slate clean and starting over. So sick of it. And by the way, Coach is going nowhere. Guys, it's not going to happen.
Let's be honest. And he just got, like I said, I mean, Wild Hack bought into getting some coordinators in here that can recruit and, you know, kind of open up the pocketbook, like we said before. And it's not just going to get all flushed down the toilet because it's some 2020 COVID year where they really weren't given a fair shake to begin with. You know, they're going to get them to allow them to get a whole off season, get more recruiting in there, get a spring season. And yeah, next year, I mean, there's definitely going to be expectations to improve, but this shouldn't be a situation where they need to go win double digit wins to save his job.
At Matt_Sherman52, I just want something to get excited about at this point. I feel like that will come for me in the NFL draft, watching Trill and Cisco, and on National Signing Day. Hopefully we can move the ball against NC State. Look, I mean, NC State played good defense this weekend. So I don't know if that is possible. I think NC State, I've been kind of big on NC State all year, and I think that they're, you know, for kind of a mediocre team, they're one of the better mediocre teams, I guess, if you got to rank them, in my opinion. I think they've got some talent on that team.
Yes, they definitely do. Good running backs. They're probably going to run over 200 yards on. I mean, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. It could be brutal. The next two games, guys. Just prepare yourselves. I'm just going to be honest what I think. I think it's going to be bad.
The best defense that we're going to play
Notre
all year.
Notre Dame is going to freaking mop the turf with us. I don't even know. Do you even throw all your starters in if you're Notre Dame heading to an ACC championship? I mean, our defense can hit. I mean, we can get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know,
might not even be a risk.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see what that, you know.
Because if this defense just held us to a
there he is.
Goose egg.
There yep. he is. If, there.
If this defense is going to hold us to a goose egg, then Notre Dame definitely has a chance for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And as far as Matt, as far as you want something to get excited about at this point, I feel you, dude. Matt is one of the more positive people on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, by the way. And I'm there. I've been there. Like, this is just so brutal and so deflating. And I'm tired of being an orange apologist to all my other orange friends, my brother-in-law, and just trying to stay positive. It's freaking draining. I'm with you.
Yeah, well, I don't think that we do. I don't think that that's – I mean, that's not your job to do. We went into this season. We even had – we had a conversation with Tyler about it. Then at the end of the day, and everybody's a little bit different, but I still would rather have football than not have football.
Oh, absolutely. We talked. Would you rather have football or would you rather go 0-11? I said – or would you rather not play football at all or have football and go 0-11? I said, let's have football and go 0-11. Well, here we are. Are 0-11. Well, here we are looking at going 1-10, seemingly, right? So, and I'll take it.
No, it's not the same thing.
Huh?
That's not the same thing. They won one.
Yeah, I know, but here we are, you know, we got one. Okay. That's even better. You know, but.
It's better than 0-10.
It's better than 0-11, sure.
Go 0-10, yeah, so.
Right.
Hey.
Hey, and I'm with you, dude. I'm still there. After seeing what I've seen and knowing what I know, I'm there. I'd still rather watch Syracuse football.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment.
You just got to have your expectations, right?
Yeah.
You got to be able to, again, there's a lot of people that can't look past the right now, you know, the instant gratification. You know, we need to be a winner right now. I can look past that. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, well, we've been waiting and waiting. And we just had 2 years ago. We had a great season, 10-win season. I loved it.
Yeah, we're only 2 years separated from a 10-win season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So And that's what it is. That 10-win season isn't going to be every year expectation.
Right.
It shouldn't be.
All right, Daryl, top fan, Daryl, on Facebook. Sean, Joe, I completely understand how bad this loss looks, but I still believe that we're going to be getting better next year, although something has to be done about our offensive line. I understand the 2020 season, but the O-line is getting our QBs absolutely killed. Head coach Babers needs to figure out the O-line, or after next season, maybe we need to look in another direction. I know with COVID and university's financial situation, it's tough, but can we continue to lose like this? They are not going to look in another direction. We'll see what happens next year. Can it get worse? Yes, it can. It can get worse. But
yeah, this past Friday, we all figured that out.
Right. But, you know, going into next year, I think we are going to see a different football season. I don't think we're going to be in the same place we were this year, coming in the middle of trying to start this thing during a pandemic. Okay. That's one. And I keep going back to that. It's not an excuse. It's a reason. And, obviously Syracuse just didn't have the talent this year to be able to make up for it. Cause there's teams that do have the talent, Pittsburgh being one of them, just destroying Virginia Tech and got a number of players out, number of starters out. And they're able to overcome this adversity. They've got the players. It doesn't look like we have the players. Okay, we've got a really good recruiting class coming in, Joe. We got a lot of freshmen. Some burn this year. That's got to be worth something going into next year, right? I mean, if you want to be optimistic, I mean, it's what you look for. That's what you look at, right?
That's what you got to look at. I can see a situation where we might look at certain position coaches and stuff like that, but. You know, that offensive line, again, we need to do something. But part of the good thing about some of those teams that you just said, especially Pitt, NC State, certain teams like this, the one thing you see is that they aren't in a coaching carousel, just rotation every three to four, whatever years. Exactly. You know, they give their coaches 6, 7, 8 years to build. Then obviously they have been a little bit more successful. They're in, you know, recruiting hotbeds, places that they can get some guys a little bit more easy. And again, that's a reason, and that's one of the bigger reasons why I think that we, you know, just struggle to kind of maintain that kind of consistency of like an every year bowl team. Other teams just have certain advantages on us. And hopefully being able to change some more positional coaches and maybe, you know, open up the pocketbook a little bit more to get some coaches in there. Maybe that'll help. I don't think people understand that private schools don't just dole out the cash like that. And, you know, whatever people want to say, like the coaches, they want to get paid.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's no sense in moving the main pieces of the coaching staff around just yet. Let's see what happens next year. And obviously Syracuse just didn't have it this year. They caught the worst of this, especially, I mean, I don't pay attention to a ton outside the ACC. A lot of conferences didn't even start till later. I don't know if that was an advantage or disadvantage, but because Syracuse was kind of thrust into this thing kind of early, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and you have to roll with the punches. In Syracuse, they just didn't. So,
well, and part of that too is that it's like, there's these other teams, these teams, some of these teams, like they're rolling with the punches, but it's like maybe a week here, a week there, because if you look at a lot of these other teams, it's a lot of that stuff, like you said, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, that's COVID stuff.
Yeah.
We've been really good. Syracuse has been really good with COVID stuff this year, right?
Excellent. Yeah. So it's been the opt-outs. It's been the injuries.
I think COVID affected us more or less, you know, like we talked about, not being able to have the spring in the off season and being in person. That's where that hurt us. Mm-hmm. But we just have basic overall players left because we changed certain schemes and changed certain coaches, and we get the opt outs, and then we get the players that got injured to begin with. So we've gotten hit all over the place in all different angles.
How do you turn a 30-0 loss into an hour-long post-game show? No idea, but we're doing it. Let's move on. Zach, top fan on Facebook. Our buddy Zach, it sucks But this season was doomed from the get-go. Joe, to piggyback on what you just said, the schedule change was huge. The lack of spring ball was huge. Crazy how if you don't have an offensive line, the domino effect cripples the entire team. If we had a semi-competent offense this year, our D wouldn't be riddled with injuries and gassed every game. I think if you fix the O-line, the team looks completely different, but I am troubled by the lack of development in the veteran players. But there's a ton of great points here, Zach, I must say. This is why I'm reading the whole thing, because it's long. I do question Dino and Gilbert's decision-making on the offensive side. White is a hell of a coach and shows he has his side of the ball prepared. I don't understand why it can't be the same on the offensive side. Just you just encapsulated most, I'd say 85% of Syracuse fans right there. And, and that's why I read that one all the way through. And normally I wouldn't, but Zach, good job, man. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know if there's anything I disagree with or question in there. I think it's all stuff that we've talked about before, that we've talked about during the show. And obviously, White, he's doing a great job with the defense. I mean, he really is. He's doing a fantastic job with this defense. And, you know, I think the defense is only going to be better next year, guys. That's like you want to look at the silver lining. And you guys, I know many of you are sick and tired of me saying it, but the defense is going to be good. And they just got to, they've got to figure out the offense. Like I said, they got two more games in an entire offseason to do it. And like Joe said, you know, you need to look in the transfer portal and look at the what positions need to be filled, and they really need to work on that. They really do. They really should. I know it's just a Band-Aid, but you got a good, like I said, you got a good recruiting class coming in, and it'll be a good Band-Aid. It will be a good Band-Aid to put those players in.
You need to try something.
Yes, exactly. So it won't be a waste of time, is what I'm saying. Jeffrey on Facebook, they're a waste of freaking time. Do away with football for them. Yeah, no, not gonna happen. But we got a lot of that. I thought I would go ahead. All right, at Baptized by Fire 75 on Parler. I don't understand how this staff can have such a horrible offense. Don't say to me it's a freshman QB. The offense sucked with DeVito. Aaron Service should give back his scholarship from this season because he has gone from captain of this offensive line to the worst. Is he hurt? And that's my point. And he goes on, it's frustrating, it's sad, and he loves Dino, but he doesn't know who to blame. And, you know, to your point, is he hurt? I don't know. Because there's got to be some kind of reason why he is giving up some of the blocks that he's given up. And I don't know what the answer is. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but
Some of it's miscommunication. You got to be on the same page.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the cohesion on an offensive line and how much more that means to the offense than it does on the defense, right? How everybody has to know their game plan and be, you know, in their position doing what they need to do.
Right. I mean, pretty much, yeah. That's how football works overall.
At Kathy Eddie, both lost balls on kickoffs were a result of helmet-to-helmet hits. Our offense is so stagnant. I don't know if they were helmet-to-helmet hits, but I'm not sure. But anyways, let's say they were. It wasn't enough to look at either one, apparently, so... you know, those are veteran guys making freshman mistakes, like I said, and it's unfortunate. I think those guys need to step up. If veteran guys don't step up, what you see is what you get. And I think that's where we're at right now. There's not enough time. We haven't seen much improvement up to this point. I don't think that it's going to improve any significant. It's not going to move the needle significantly in that direction. Playing NC State and then playing Notre Dame either. So one more home game, and we will be back to tell you what we think about NC State coming into the dome. Other than that, we're just going to push through. We got Syracuse basketball hopefully happening this week, Friday again. Friday. Can't wait for that. Let's just pray that that happens. Thank you to all of you for tuning in. I want to thank BetOnline. I want to thank Manscaped. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.